Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're going to continue talking about some of the challenges and how to overcome them in ministering and actually practically ministering in the supernatural gifts. And we've got our little step-by-step guide that we've been working our way through. And we've got that posted, just the bare bones, on the website, but on the Blog Talk Radio description of this series. But you can also find out much more in-depth by listening to the programs. These are also available in the books. So last week, we were talking about step number seven, which is adjust. And part of our challenge that we have is that every single situation that we find ourselves in is going to be individualized. What God has for you is different than what he has for somebody else. And that's what we want. We don't want to have a cookie-cutter relationship with God. We know that what he has for us, if it's going to be satisfying, has to be conformed and unique and a specific experience that meets our specific needs, whatever they happen to be. So on our part, the hard part is that we have to walk this way ourselves. The experience that your friends or family or those you fellowship with, or the examples, for instance, in the Bible or in history, they are helpful and hopefully encouraging or at least enlightening, but they do not give you the exact parameters of what God is doing in your life. So nothing can substitute. There is no substitute for your experience. We've talked over and over again, and we'll continue to, about the need for hearing God for ourselves, the need for fine-tuning that and questioning and relying on his constantly working and sharpening our senses. That's what keeps us from becoming dependent on his actions in our life, our expectations, our flesh. If we know that our safety and security is relying on him and not on figuring him out or insight, revelation, giftedness, power, authority, maturity, any of these things, relying on any of these things will betray us. our feelings, our thoughts, our decisions. Those are all aspects of our soul. And until our soul is fully and perfectly and completely fit into our spirit so that they too are one, that we are one, spirit, soul, and body, until that day, which is a way off, we cannot trust our solical perceptions, our feelings, our beliefs, or our decisions, those things that make sense to us. We can't rely on a gut feeling. This just feels right. Or this, if I do this, since this is, for instance, since this is biblical, I know God will honor it. He may honor it, but it's not because it's biblical. It's because he loves you. And any of the standards or what we would consider fundamentals or foundational truths or doctrines, if we are relying on our own beliefs, regardless of how you try to attribute them to being holy and righteous because they are scriptural, anything that keeps you from relying moment by moment on that awareness and openness and availability to God, his voice, his presence, his revealing himself, anything that stands between that dependence and that reliance, letting God be your, himself, be your foundation. Any attempt to add to that, well, as long, for instance, as long as it lines up with scriptures, that is adding to God himself and saying God is not enough. Another way to put it is, in your own mind or belief system or heart or faith, however you want to put it, if you were in the very presence of Jesus, say you're in heaven and you're seated on the throne right next to Jesus, will you, and he turns and talks to you and he tells you what's going on, will you say, hold on, hold that thought, let me make sure that that lines up with the Bible? Or, you know, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like a very loving thing to do. I have a problem with that. That just doesn't feel right. That's not a kind thing to do, Jesus. Or, well, that's not what I would do. You know, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't see why you would do that. Would you argue with God if what he is doing doesn't line up with your beliefs, your doctrine, your thoughts, your emotions, your beliefs? Or would you instead go, I don't understand why you're doing what you're doing? I'd like to understand, but if I don't, I'll accept it. And we learn to know God despite arguments from our soul. trusting God because we know him and he has proven himself trustworthy, so that even if we don't feel like he's trustworthy, he is still trustworthy to us because he's proven it by experience. Now, gaining that kind of confidence only comes from spending a lot of time with him and following where he leads, responding as he directs, taking the tests that he gives us, doing our homework, having a living, breathing relationship with a living, breathing God now. If we do that, if we know God now, when his direction contradicts or clashes with what we supposedly know to be true, or what we feel in our heart or gut, or what we can make sense of, or what we would do, we will be able to discern and distinguish between the two and rest in his choices, in his activities, in his direction. To know him will involve knowing yourself. Will involve knowing your wounds, your thoughts, your hang-ups, your desires. Not that we choose how we know ourselves, but we recognize that part of our process of healing, hearing his voice, dealing with our flesh, letting the Lord remove our flesh, learning how to overcome our enemies. If we want to know God, we're going to have to deal with our stuff. But God is so generous. We would very often, you know, as a wonderful example of how we do things that he doesn't, we think that we have to measure up, somehow have a certain level of history with him, that we, you know, are sinless to a certain degree or have studied to a certain degree, and then that makes us acceptable to him. And he reveals himself. But that's not the way God does it. He does it the exact opposite. He reveals himself first. It's the goodness of God that draws us. It's his healing, his voice, his freedom. That draws us to want to know him. He makes us thirsty for him. Now, the more we drink that water, the less other water satisfies. This is another one of those areas where we find out what's important to us. Now, it's not a surprise to God that, okay, we want to know him this much, But when it starts interfering with our other life choices, that's, you know, God, you can address all these other areas of my life, but not this one. It's no surprise. It's not like God was, oh, my gosh, I never realized that. He wants us to realize that. And he's not doing it to shame you, to condemn you, but simply to show you. And let's be honest with him. Lord, this is an area I don't want you messing around in my life. I like this part of my life just the way it is. If you're going to mess around with this, I don't want to know you any more than I already do. I enjoy where we're at. Let's not go any further. Now, one thing that we often think is that, okay, then God is going to get petulant and say, well, if we say that, he's going to say, oh, okay, you're satisfied, well, then I'll just let you be where you're at. Isn't that kind of what we do? If you don't want any more, that's fine. We're not going to do any more than that then. No. Or maybe we would, well, I'm going to force it on you. You may not want it, but I'm going to make you do it. I'm going to rock your boat right there. This is the one area you don't want me messing around in your life? Guess what? It's my number one target. I'm going after it. Again, that's something some of us would do. It's not what God does. Because he's not dealing with what your soul says, what your beliefs say, what your feelings say, what your comfort level dictates. He's made an agreement with your spirit, which is who you truly are. And your spirit has said, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm all in. I agree 100% with whatever you're doing. What are we doing next? Now that kind of takes the fire out of dealing with the things that we fear. Because then we can ask, Lord, why is it? Why are you pointing out that this is an area you don't want? If I've already agreed that you can touch it, even though I don't want you to, if I've already agreed that, why are you pointing out this one area that I don't want you to touch? Why are we talking about this? And this is, again, another area where the Lord is going to have a unique answer just for you. In fact, write it down. If he's brought something to your mind or your heart, or you're reminded of some dreams you might have had or some fears you've been dealing with, I'll let the Lord do anything in my life but this. Or I don't want to go all in with God because he might interfere here. He might mess up my home life or my work life or my life. I want to have some control over it. A lot of times we avoid that because we think, well, as soon as we start talking to God about that, he's going to go after it. Well, talking about it, if he wants to go after it, he is going to go after it whether you talk about it or not. if that's next on your training. So be quick to be honest. Lord, I agree that I've already agreed with you that this is not off limits, even though I'd like it to be off limits. And I've agreed that you're entitled to do, and I welcome you to do whatever you want in this area. Lord, what is it? Why am I so protective? Why am I so wanting control? Is this something you'd like to talk to me about? Is there an area that needs to be healed? Is there a truth that needs to be told? Is there a belief that needs to be changed? When we start responding to God in the moments, in our everyday thoughts, there are no really big things. Because we're already, it's like running a marathon when you haven't trained for it. Big things may very well happen in your life, good or bad. But if you're in training with God, He will have you ready. Now, many people are talking about another revival of what God wants to do in this country, in this world. And we won't get too distracted by the whole concept of revival. But let's instead call it a new thing. Well, if you haven't experienced a new thing in your life, how are we going to share it and embrace and enjoy what God is going to do on a large scale? It says in the Bible that Jesus turned his world upside down. What if he wanted to do that again? In a whole different way. What if he wanted to do that through you? Well, the more we are ready for whatever he wants to do, the less it will matter what he wants to do. And this is why, one of the reasons why it is so important to embrace the concept of solical gifts, solical abilities. Your solical senses have capabilities far beyond what you are used to experiencing through your physical senses. You have them now. You don't need to get a special prayer or a special gift from God. Now, sometimes it helps for people to encourage you in a particular area and get them a little kick, jump start in your life. But it's something that's already there. And say at some point in time God calls on you to use something that you've always sensed was there. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to enjoy the activation of that in a large scale because you've already learned how it functions on the small scale, where all you have to do is do it and you can enjoy what he does and pay much more attention to what he's doing rather than what you are doing. So it's good to start experimenting. Lord, this particular gift that you've been, or characteristics, or abilities. How can I experience them now? Is this what you want me to be working on? So we've been learning how to adjust and how some do it wrong. We often learn by, okay, this is how not to do it. And we talked about to not forbid it. You can't just run away from these things. And how to not stifle it, to let it be expressed, to let whatever your gifts are be expressed, and to value them, to not despise them, and to not neglect them, to, again, value and put in time. If they're important, treat them that way. If they have value, are you giving them the time and the attention they deserve? But one of the big challenges we have is history. Whether you yourself have moved in gifts before, or you've seen others that perhaps they or yourself were on the receiving end of criticism or rejection, or others have used their gifts to manipulate others or to hurt or reject or to dominate. One of the things we will all have to learn how to do is overcome the abuse of these gifts. Abuse occurs when the gifts are used to control, correct, intimidate, or hurt another person or group. We are all susceptible to the desire to defend ourselves or our beliefs by putting God's name on our actions, beliefs, or perspective. We say we use God or the gift to excuse our behavior or our beliefs. But a sure signal to ourselves that we are resting in his love for us is that unconditional love, acceptance, and honor is flowing through us to those to whom we are ministering. When we can let the other people be where they're at and love them anyway, accept them anyway, we know we are depending on God rather than our gifts. Though there will likely be times when the ministry of the Lord will either cause pain or be interpreted as hurtful, if we take that simple precaution to make sure we are resting in dependence, then the Lord is free to address whatever response there may be. In other words, you don't need to defend yourself. If you've started out with reminding yourself how much God loves these people and you, how much God loves you, and how everything he's doing is to set them free, when we start there, even if we don't do everything perfectly, God then is free to minister and heal and correct where necessary and turn those words to do the work that he wants done. So we'll pick it up there next week. And in the meantime, if you have any questions, if you have any feedback or thoughts you'd like to share, drop me a line at Diane@therainersclub.org. Until next week, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas. Have a great night.